Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The snap, the kick, it's been blocked again! Oh my! It's been blocked again!
He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyree Cleveland! Oh my! I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball over the middle.
Have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Yeah. Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your boy Corey.
It's Dan.
Delatorre.
And your boy Jay Scott 25. What it do, y'all, boy?
What up, 2-5?
Yes, sir. Good to have y'all boys back, man. What's good?
Likewise, man. Good to be back, man. Happy holiday. I hope everybody Christmas was well. Shout out to the listeners. Everybody hit like, retweet, share, comment. We appreciate y'all for joining. I hope everybody's holiday was fire.
Yeah. You know, I was down in South Florida. It's always good to be around. I've got two nephews, and so watching them on Christmas is kind of the highlight of Christmas. But got the chance to spend time with family, see some friends that are down there, and then just enjoy the holidays. Always enjoy being down there. And then I was supposed to go to New Orleans to see Sarah's family for 2 days, and then my flight kept getting delayed and delayed and delayed, and it just didn't make sense anymore. So got to have a little guys weekend down here, played some golf, went out boating, hung out with the boys to watch some meaningless bowl games and NFL on Saturday, but ultimately a great time, ready for New Year's and ready for the new year.
Nice, man. Nice.
George, how's good?
Man, not a whole lot, bro. Appreciating the downtime, you know, touching a lot of grass, you know, my daughter's first semester back. This is her first time coming back from a college break, right? So that's been dope. Just spending time around with the fam, man, hanging out, decluttering, getting ready for the new year and working out, just, you know, new year vibe stuff, bro. I'm not really into cliche and resolutions, but just I do get in that mode around this time of the year of just decluttering and getting, you know, the new year off to a clean start type vibe. Well, that's about it. What about you, 25?
Man, those are pretty good one with the family, man. It's always great when you get to spend time with the family. Actually, was so happy this week. Last weekend, actually, I taught my daughter finally how to ride a bike. So that was a big, big moment for me. So, yeah, that was a good one for her as well. But that was a good time to do around Christmas. So I feel like that was a Christmas gift for my mother, just to see her accomplish that. But other than that, you know, just pretty much chill vibes with the family. Had a great time with everybody who came through.
The Delatorre has been ravaged by the flu.
Yeah.
tough Christmas here.
Sorry to hear that, man.
It's been a very long Christmas, but really cool. Got called out by my friends for building a child's playhouse for safety regulations. I mean, listen,
I can see that.
Did I use all the screws that were given in the packaging? No. Do I think they gave me extras for later?
Not in this America. No, not anymore.
You didn't work for step two, Dan. I think they provided extra, and I didn't need to put all the screws in.
Hey, well, when your daughter gets her first concussion because you don't know how to erect a home, then that's not on me. That's between you
home
and erect build.
Oh, build. I think that's a better word. I think that's a way better word, my guy.
Some kids are coddled. Maybe a little early concussion is, you know, what we needed. I was allowed to run outside, ran into trees. We played tackle football. About more or less okay. The house will be fine.
Yeah, man. Building things for your kids without the instructions is a choice. It really is a choice, man.
No, there were instructions.
Did you read them? Nick saw them. He saw them in Espanol. He's like, I'm good. You just got to turn around on the other side, Nick. And
my dad was here. I had the translator. The house is fine.
Hey, sick. Some people live life like that, bro. It's like instructions in books how to live life, and people just say, "Nah, I'm cool. I'm good. I got it, bro.
Those are your mistakes. Those won't be mine.
I used a drill. I used power tools. It was big dad mode.
Well, I hope Frankie stays safe. If I was your wife, if I was a close relative, and even as a friend. I'm going to say you might want to just shake it, make sure that shake it's sturdy.
Yeah.
Make sure she's not inside when I shake it.
Yeah, definitely.
That's between you and DCF then. You know, I'm out of the picture. I'm out of the picture at that point. Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Good to have you back, Corey. We missed you last week. It was a fun episode, but it's always good when the whole gang's back together. Let's get a quick.
Oh, wait, real quick, before that, good to see a couple other people back. Jerry, back from your crypto selling. Jerry was out here balling. Y'all boys are on. Good to see you.
Jerry, back. Keith Niebuhr from On
Three. Keith Niebuhr.
Keith's back. Did y'all like go halvesies on a jet, or how does that work with the crypto? Just happy you want to hit that membership with the crypto.
Jordan was a part of the same crypto scheme.
That's a fact. They got my ass too.
Right. They got through the gated community pretty quick there, man.
Right.
Almost applied.
Good advice. Don't click on click on DMs from people. You
when I seen
know.
Jerry had a jet, I was like, man, I want one too. Shoot, put me on, bro.
Man, Ace Wade only bought a car. Jerry bought a jet. I need his crypto guy.
Oh, man.
And then we always got to give a shout out to Scott 0020. Always the first one in here, right when the stream goes live. Usually like 20 minutes before we even hit the go live.
That's loyalty right there, man.
Scott's there, so we appreciate you, Scott. We'll give you the award for best listener, best first listener that we have.
He's likely to go in the portal.
He used to be Harrison, but he got too rich. He's likely to go in the portal. Nah.
Oh, man, Ace Wade's back on Twitter as well. So go follow him.
I'm about to unfollow your other page.
Buy the whole company.
I gotta go find your new page that you just. When y'all get new pages and I gotta follow those, then y'all may go back to your old page. Now I gotta go back to like unfollow that. Y'all killing my ratio. Twice, bro.
Oh my God. Well, Corey, let's get a Brunt ad read. Then I'll do one for Dykesburg Law Group, and we'll get started.
One time for the great folks at Brunt Insurance and Financial Services. Anything you need insured, from the Panhandle to the Keys. It's a good time. You're getting at the top of the year. It's not hurricane season, so it should be easier to get home insurance, that type of stuff. But, you know, a part of your New Year's resolution is probably to save some money, right? Give Greg a call. I'm sure he can find, whether it's your house, your life, your home insurance, he can find a way to cut you some dollars and save some money for 2026. 954-589-2204. And also, you can visit bruntinsurance.com. Big coverages, big policies.
Greg, what'd it do, baby?
And then one time for our friends over at the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group. Corey was talking about insurance. These are guys that are going to help protect you against when those insurance companies don't want to protect you, or they're fighting with
Ray
you.
Ops.
they need somebody on your side, you know? Probably not the people Greg's going to insure you with, but every once in a while you're going to get in a little tizzy with your insurance company. You want to make sure that you're represented well. That's where our friends over at the Dykesburg and Lewis Law Group come in, based in the Tampa Bay area, but cover the entire state of Florida. They've been on the insurance side. Now they're fighting for you against those same insurance companies. So go visit them at DykesburgLawGroup.com. And let them know your friends over at Stadium Gale sent you. I'm going to take a little host privilege as we are going through people that are here. I want to give a shout out to one of my dear friends, Sebastiano, that is here. So shout out to him. He always watches it on the big screen from his home. So to think that his wife wants to watch, you know, Desperate Housewives or The Pit or something else on TV. And there I am. Just
you, Uncle Sam, 25, and
yeah. No, I know, but I'm the ugly one. You know what I mean? So, I'm just taking up the screen. But
what a name, though, man. What's his name again?
Sebastiano Mangiafico.
Yeah, that's one of one right there, brother. Yeah, that's almost a black name.
Yeah, you think he's Italian?
It sounds Italian, but
yeah,
you know,
he's Italian.
He's from, he is? Okay.
He's from the 305 originally. Now,
any apostrophes in it?
Nope. No apostrophes.
I don't think once the blacks hear about that, when we taking that, bro.
That's like the Chappelle Show, the racial draft.
Ooh, yeah.
We can just take Sebastiano's name.
Yeah, I like that name. We taking that.
Let's talk a little bit about the transfer portal. Last week, we kind of did a comprehensive list of everybody up to that point. So we're going to go in chronological order. Everybody gets mad when I talk about chronological order. We're just going to follow chronological order. So on December 24th, the day after we recorded the pod, Eugene Wilson entered the transfer portal for his final season. He will head somewhere else. So, guys, what are your thoughts on Eugene Wilson leaving? He joins Nayshon Montgomery, Hayden Hansen, Tank Hawkins, Mike Peterson Jr., and Moise Tankara as receiving threats there heading into the portal. So, Corey, what are your thoughts there?
I mean, initially, you know, it's a lot of hits in the receiver room, a room that I was high on. I thought we recruited there well as far as in-state talent. Even when we went outside the state with guys like Moise, but with Eugene, I get it. He's a guy I thought would hit the portal. I mentioned him, you know, when the season kind of wrapped up on one of those episodes that I expected a guy like him with, you know, one season to play to get into a more for sure situation in the offense that would make sense for him on his final season. So, you know, nothing surprising as far as, you know, on my end. It is a concern because the transfer portal is more expensive than retention, right? So knowing the potential, you also got to feel depth. I don't think like every guy, I know we're looking for production, mm-hmm. but I don't think every guy on in depth charts around the country is going to be production at every, you know, level of the depth chart, right? So you need roster fillers of talented guys. So some of these guys that are walking are roster filling talented guys that we know can play a little bit, but don't have the production. So, and I just know the transfer portal is more expensive than retention. So I'm just interested to see how the roster all shakes out in the end.
Yeah. Ends his career with a bit over 1,000 yards receiving. Obviously, his freshman year went for 61 receptions, 538 yards, with 6 touchdowns. Obviously, his best season there. Got injured in 2024 and then also dealt with some injuries in 2025. But we saw him increase the number of receptions that he had last season by 8 over the season before, but less yards. So he went from 8.8 yards to 14 yards to 8.9 yards, had three receiving touchdowns on the year with a long of 40. So, Jordan, what are your thoughts on Eugene Wilson?
I think, honestly, just from a player's perspective and putting myself in his shoes, I see where he's going with it. I mean, I think if we maybe had some more certainty at the quarterback position or we were in the fights for potentially, like, a national championship run next year, no doubt he would stay. Not even national championship, just even playoff hopes. I went too far. Just I feel like with the uncertainty of how good we're going to be because we have some questionable positions and he has 1 year left to kind of be productive and make the best for his name to kind of get drafted high. I mean, I feel like it's the right move for him. I mean, we got that room super talented, man. It's only one ball at the end of the day. I want to be greedy. I was greedy all last year. Obviously, we didn't get to do anything with it, but We had all those Ferraris and Lambs in the garage and only dusted off two of them, really one and a half. But we still got two of them, I'm hoping for. So that's all that really, that's all you really need in the offense, honestly. I think it's, we got two solid guys who are dudes, which I think we have for sure. And like Corey said, we can get some fillers in there. Maybe it's the time for us to, you know, see how this staff recruits. You know, what kind of receiver talent can they bring in through the portal or with the young guys we have that are trying to stick around. So I think it gives a lot of other guys opportunities. But all good to Eugene, man. I think he'll do well somewhere else.
Yeah. Nick?
Yeah, I think, like Corey said, kind of felt this one coming, and it makes sense for like the reason Jordan said. Well, like you've seen, like as we've been announcing guys, we've had like graphics and stuff ready, waiting for them to sign, and then we're announcing stuff. And I think I just got the word a couple weeks ago that hey, we might not need to use that one. But it makes sense. You've been somewhere for 3 years. You've been injured each of the 3 years. Something's happened each of the 3 years. There's a ton of uncertainty. You know, Jordan went through a coaching change, and coaches come in and they're hot and they're enthusiastic and they bring all this new energy, and it's easy to kind of get wrapped up in that. But if you take a step back, you know, I've covered, this will be my fifth coaching staff in 13 years. So I've seen this cycle before.
That's why we got great hairs, bro.
Yeah, I'll blame it on that.
Dude, I didn't even have a beard when we started this show, and then it was all brown. And then you joined the show, and you started giving me gray hairs.
Hit puberty on the show? That's crazy. Hit puberty on the
show. You know, gray hairs is a sign of puberty, but I mean.
No, you said you didn't have a beard, bro. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I had a beard. I didn't have one on my face. I could grow a beard.
Oh, okay.
My bad. Jeez Louise.
I'm going to die.
Are you climbing into your daughter's playhouse again?
Yeah. Bury me with the playhouse. Bury me under the playhouse. I'm not going to break our chronological order, but I think it makes the same sense as the one that we'll eventually get to. It's just like, hey, who's going to be my coach? Who am I going to get developed by? Can I win? It makes even more sense for a guy who's going into his last year of eligibility, going into his fourth year of like, hey, what does next year look like for me? Who is the guy throwing me the ball? What does the offense look like? Because you're not a freshman. You're going into your last year. You've got
– I think he has 2 years. I think he redshirted last year.
The only playing four?
Yeah.
Ideally, you don't want to use those 2 years with all.
Yeah, he needs one. Like his injury concerns and everything he got going on. Like I think he needs one good year. Yeah, and then get out of here.
Yeah, you're right, Dan. He had was a redshirt sophomore.
Thanks.
Nailed it.
Not going up for the good guys.
But yeah, does it hurt? Yeah. He's a good player. He's going, and we said this last week too. Like, I think Moise Tankara is going to be a good player. I think Nayshon Montgomery is going to be a good player. I think KD Daniels is going to be a good player. They're going to be good players somewhere else. You're going to lose good players when you have attrition in a coaching staff. And also, how much
you're going to lose good players regardless. That's just the way that the sport is now. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yes, 100%. But also, how much of it is we don't have a second transfer portal period anymore. Unless you're graduating or your coach leaves in the spring, you don't have another transfer portal period that you used to have the last 3, 4, 5 years.
Right. Unless you graduate or something weird.
Unless you graduate or your coach gets fired or leaves. Unless your coach is on that Sharon Moore path. Sharon
crash out.
More war
crash out package.
Yeah, unless
the crash out starter kit.
Not even the starter kit. Unless you went and you bought the extra advanced pack. You
definitely got the elevated experience.
It comes with a butter knife. Like too far.
You're gonna see more guys, and I wonder if we're gonna see guys just announce that they enter and test the portal and come back. Not saying that that's what Eugene will do, but I'm wondering if you'll see that across the country, just because guys don't have the opportunity to get into the portal until this time next year.
This is going to be
2027.
I'm trying to bring about some spirited debate, and so I think that there's going to be some thoughts here, and I want to try to get them. Do you think it makes sense if you were a player in a situation like Florida, or kind of anybody that's in a similar situation where maybe they have a new coaching staff, doesn't it almost make sense to at least test the water with the transfer portal?
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I know that means that you can get passed up on, or maybe you get a little scorned and the school say, hey, we're going to, you know, we've moved on and you're going to fight that fight with it. But
that's I agree, but it's also a gamble. It's like, I could think this is what the market is for me, and my agent can tell me this is what the market is for you, and you can go, and it happens in the NFL. You go out there, and, or in the NBA, MLB, teams will say, cool, go make, if that's what you think you're worth and someone's going to pay it, go make
it. I think if you're an agent,
no, and you come back now and it's like, sorry, that's not.
If I'm a parent of a player or agent of a player, I wouldn't step out there without like some type of tampering or some type of, you know, reassurance of what type of odds I have. So I wouldn't blindly test the market just because it's a new coaching staff. You know, University of Florida still is, you know, a premier stop, you know, like as far as what you can get outside of NIL money, right? You still can get a good education. It's a good school to be at. And if you have a good year, you can, you know, really raise your profile. You know, there's some Gators that got drafted just because they was at this logo, like for sure. And they got to the NFL and bust and then like materialized for a lot of different reasons, but it's still a great opportunity. So I wouldn't step out on a limb unless I knew it was a safe limb, you know, if I was a player in that, because it's a million kids in that portal. And it is no telling, because this is a new staff, right? They didn't recruit you here. So there's no loyalty to, like, you still got an offer on the table. No, they may have a player they could get at your value, but with more production, you know, for cheaper, you know, now that you enter the market, like you just open up that can of worms. So if I was to step out there, if I was a for sure player that Florida wanted to keep, I wouldn't step out on that limb unless I had some surety, you know, what I'm doing.
Yeah. Right. And the transfer portal is not even technically open for another, 4 days?
4 days. Yeah.
And we have, the last number I saw was a couple weeks ago, and there's like 1,000 players, and there's obviously been a bunch since then. Do we have like a running number? Do we know?
I haven't been in that business in over a year, but yeah, I'm sure there is a number. But it's the way it's working is,
well, there definitely is a number.
Now. Agents want, and if you watch the way that they're being announced, either in the original tweet that's coming out or a follow up tweet, there's always who is repping them, and agents want, hey, so and so is going out in the portal, so that people can start talking to the agent, because that's technically not tampering. You're not talking to the player. It's a nice little way around the NCAA rule. But that's why I think you're seeing so many names come out this early before the portal is officially open, is agents want to have, like Corey was just talking, hey, I'm not trying to go into January 2nd blind and say that we're going to go in the portal and then start negotiations. It's what I've talked about for years, being like, hey, if you're not ready when somebody goes in the portal to be like, hey, this is the file we have. I think who's Chicago's quarterback? Caleb Williams. I'm like, if you're not ready to recruit Caleb Williams, not that he would ever go in the portal, but if you're not ready to recruit that guy, then what are you doing? Like, you need to be able to be ready with your file of, this is what we think, this is our tape, this is our evaluation on him. We think we should go. Here's the number that we think is his going to be his number. You have to be ready for those guys, and I think agents are taking this opportunity because reporters want to break news. Hey, you want to break news? Here's your broken story, and now I get to start talking to other schools, GMs, whoever.
Well, in the agent world in college is a lot broader than it is in the NFL or NCAA coaching, right? Like, there's a lot. There's some big names, Athletes First, a few other, Rock Nation, a few others. But there's also a lot of smaller agencies that rep 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 guys, and maybe they're still building their way up. Maybe they had an inroad in with a player, and then he went to school, then he got a couple other inroads. So, you know, I think of it as marketing for yourself as well. I'm not one to think that most of these agents that are reputable that have the contacts aren't already beginning some of those discussions. But I know that that's tampering, but
there's no such thing as tampering. It's like that's like a like a fairy tale at this point. Like everybody's tampering. Like this is just this is what it is right now. But it just depends on the kid. And some of these kids, like, you want to break that information, because if you are like got intentions of entering the portal and you got to start moving out your apartment, it could be broken by some just random college kids. So you just you could control the narrative. You know, you control the media, what gets out there on your own terms. So it's just a way for the players in this new era of sports to control their narrative.
Yeah. I thought, Corey, you made a good point. I'm going to write down Corey's good point. And we're going to get to it after we talk about the players, because it kind of deviates a little bit off the subject. So stay tuned. That's what we call in this business a cliffhanger.
Before we went live, Dan walked away and said, let me go grab my trusty notebook and my pen to take notes.
Yep. Burying Under the Playhouse is the running title right now.
Feels like an episode of Blue's Clues with your handy-dandy notebook.
I got to remember, because then at the end of the show, we're like, what was funny? And I mean, the entire show is funny, but then I'm like, what's a good title? And then we're kind of racking our brains. And it's like 9:30 at night. We want to do that. All right. So the next player that entered the transfer portal, a day after Christmas, we took Christmas Day off. Day after is running back Chad Gasper. I
appreciate that, players.
Yeah, is running back Chad Gasper. He is heading into the transfer. Didn't play this season. Was a redshirt candidate this year, so he'll still have his 4 years to play. Any thoughts? I would imagine this would be a quick conversation on Chad Gasper.
Well wishes, peace and blessings.
Man, it's tough for the RBs to be leaving, man. I love the depth. I think honestly, the room was so stacked before, and I mean, we still got some more young guys there. But all well wishes to him. I don't know much about the kid. Hey,
They're letting Shaq play next year in NCAA. Shaq, you'll see Shaq in an LSU jersey.
Let me. I might dunk on Shaq right now. Shaq, watch this.
I don't think Shaq watches the show.
I think he does. His daughter plays at UF, so I think he's a big fan.
We're in the streets.
All right, Shaq, if you're listening to this, I apologize. Please come on the show. you would have to get your number back from Anthony Rubio.
Okay.
That's not a hard bargain.
Put Scarlett in the one. That's the governor's son. Sorry, right. Secretary of State's son.
Different guy. Secretary of
State, a cabinet member.
Listener of this show. Follower of.
Where's been going? He may hit the portal on us too.
No.
Rubio going on down to Tulane when he scored the TD. They want a pee.
Well wishes, my brother. well wishes to Rubio, man.
All right.
It's a great story.
It was. All right. So then from there, Agent Zero, Sharif Denson entered the transfer portal as well. A bit of an up and down career at UF. Ended the season with 39 solo tackles, 13 assisted tackles, and one pass deflected on the year. Ended up with one interception. That was last season. Two sacks and one fumble recovery in his career.
Yeah, it's one. I think we all seen it coming, just from like you know, subliminal tweets and regular, just straightforward tweets that got deleted, right? Mm-hmm. We kind of expecting that from Denson. That room, I'm not sure if that Will Harris was coaching the Nichols, but it seemed like that they all took a step back. Aaron Gates was out unhealthy. I don't know if he's returning. That's another we got our eye on. But the DB room is starting to get creepily thin as well. You know, we got to keep an eye on that. And I don't know. I thought we recruited well at both those positions, DB and receiver. We got a lot of the top guys in state. The state of Florida is one of the top places you want to get receivers and DBs from. We got the top guys, creme de la creme in state of those positions. So I wanted to keep those rooms intact, but it is what it is. You can't keep everybody. It's not a huge loss. I think you replace Denson. But Aaron, losing Aaron Gates would be, I think, a blow to like any type of continuity, I would say. It's been tough for us to get a good nickel, period, since Chauncey Gardner.
Yeah, Aaron Gates, I guess we'll go over the players that are coming back. Yeah, I mean, again, I think this goes back to your point, Corey, maybe not the best player on the team or best player on the defense. But again, it's a depth piece, a guy that has a lot of snaps under his belt, and you just run the risk of not being able to replace with somebody better. Right? There's obviously going to be 105 guys on the Gators roster next year, whatever the number is. But you just kind of run the risk, and this isn't a Sharif Denson comment. This is just kind of a comment that just kind of compounds over all of the guys that have entered the transfer portal, is that there's going to be some that you get that are probably better than guys that are leaving, and then there's going to be some guys that are maybe not as good, or maybe it doesn't translate as well from a G5 school to the SEC or from wherever they come from. And that's just – that's a concern that I have just because we don't know, right? And I think it was Bud Davis today tweeted it. He's like, it's okay to have like an opinion of like, I don't know what this means about the transfer portals, about what the transfer portal is going to look like, or what even the team's going to look like next year. There's other things that you can look at to see, you know, what the trajectory of the program looks like from a recruiting perspective, a scheme perspective. I think that they're going to naturally get some more wins next year. Just the schedule is a little bit easier, and I hope they're able to put it together. I've said that a lot over the 6.5 years we've been doing the show, and the last 15 years that the Gators have been struggling with this up and down mediocrity of like, I hope it can't get worse. But at least the schedule plays out a little bit nicer next year.
You grew a beard.
I did grow a beard. Yep. Lost some hair along the way. I have to wear a hat. Because of this podcast.
Oh, man.
That's funny.
Yeah, but I feel like wearing a hat.
I feel like, obviously, we've been losing a lot of just dudes in the secondary to the portal as well. But I kind of feel like that was kind of our weakest position on the defense last year. Obviously, we lost some guys to the draft and to the portal as well inside the box. But I wouldn't be too opposed to getting a fresh start at DB. Obviously, I got some young guys I want to keep late in the year. Some guys kind of impressed me, but overall, I'm not too mad as I am about the receivers. Let me put it like that. I think our receivers are way better than our defensive backs, obviously. But I think just the back end was just a weak link to our defense, if it was any last year. Obviously, we got to replace some pieces in the interior on the D-line now, but I think we can do that easy too. Florida is known to kind of always be kind of good with the trenches.
Yeah, I guess the one thing, so like I agree with Corey too. It's like you look at the DB room overall, whether it's nickel, outside, safety, just thin. That helps in the transfer portal.
Sure. You know,
talking about transfer portal, especially guys with experience, that's a hey. Who's on the – where's the rest of the depth chart? All right, yeah, I can come in. I can compete. I can play right away. It will be interesting to see, like, you get Laganza back. I think Bryce Thornton back. Interesting to see if Cormani comes back. I don't know why he would leave for another school. I don't think he's ready to go to the league. Would make sense for him to come back. But, like, there's a lot of opportunity in the secondary.
Right.
Because you're going to be replacing Devin Moore. You get Dejon Johnson back, right? You get Cormani back.
Yeah. But, so Didi tore his ACL against Miami.
Yep.
So he'll miss spring.
Okay.
Assuming.
Like that.
An 8-month timetable.
Yep.
9 month for ACL. Am I tripping or is that like, is that?
No, that's like 9 month ACL. Yeah. Yeah.
So like, even if you are ready for spring, like totally non-contact in the spring, if you're doing 100%. Anything.
Yeah.
So you're talking about fall camp is when you're really getting back into the swing of things for your number one outside corner.
Yeah, it can't be any more.
Yeah.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Until everybody signs, we're just going to be just skeptical or just, you know, just – curious of what's about to happen. So Cormani hasn't made any new announcements. It's been, you know, people here and there saying they're working on some things to get him back re-signed. You know, there's some Auburn smoke out there. I think there's some real smoke, but I don't know if the numbers are correct. You know, when it comes to Carmoney, as far as like what's being rumored, it ain't. I don't know if it's just not correct. Some of the numbers that's been thrown out there is just not real. Just speaking with some guys that are on the Auburn side, you know, with DBD, mm-hmm. you know, the DB coach over there, I got a relationship with. So like, I know there's some things like DBD was the reason he committed to Miami. So I know there's a relationship there, and their room is kind of torn to pieces as well. Their entire roster is hitting the portal like ours almost, right? Yeah. So they got a lot of opportunities in their DB room. It just all comes down to, you know, it's two South Florida guys that are going to coach them regardless. You got DBD or you got Brandon Harris. Who knows why these kids are going to decide these days. But I think he's a guy that you need to be aggressive with trying to keep. You know, corners get dinged up. Like, we haven't been the healthiest in our secondary. Like, you need a two deep of guys that can absolutely play defensive back these days. Like, just having one real good lockdown corner, you just got DD and then a bunch of other guys you kind of playing with out of the portal, hoping there's SEC guys. I got some other takes with that too as well, but I think Carmoney's a guy you need to try to keep. You know, you're not gonna give him $1 million or nothing crazy, but I think he's a guy you got to try to aggressively keep and, you know, convince him to stay on his roster. If Javari Flowers as well, who I think showed some sparks his freshman year. Like, you just got to be able to keep Ben Hanks, like those young freshmen. You know, you look at the production, and it's not going to show a heap load of production, but you're looking at the upside and what they can be, you know, who they were coming out and how well they played as freshmen, true freshmen. I think those are guys you need to aggressively try to keep around.
Yeah. Do we get Alfonso Allen back next year?
I don't think he has eligibility.
Shucks.
He should get a medical redshirt just for wearing 43.
Well, I mean,
give him another chance to wear another number.
Hold on. He was a redshirt junior last year. Let's play the eligibility game. So
he's a redshirt junior.
22 played in 13 games. They're listed as 22 played in 13, 23 played in 12, 24 only saw action in 4 games. That's a redshirt. 25 is another year.
There we go.
43 solved.
Yeah,
maybe in the 4-3 like Alfonso.
Maybe we'll put him in a number. Put him in zero.
Yeah, get a more respectable number.
Zero's open.
There'll be a lot of numbers that are open. And then big news today: Stadium and Gale alum twice is freshman All SEC Jaden Woods, edge. 27 tackles this season, one fumble recovery, one forced fumble, one interception, returned it for 25 yards. That was a tough one. That was one that, you know, I wanted to keep. I get it. I understand why any player would leave. But that was one that I was really hoping that they could keep in the fold. I don't think it was a money thing on UF side. That's just a tough loss. Because I do think he'll be an All-American player. But
100%. It's also hard. Like, this is not his skill set is not easy. It's expensive. What he can do is very expensive in the portal. So it was, in my opinion, that was your best defensive player coming back next year. Like, yeah. I don't even think it was close. I think Woods was our best defensive guy. So it definitely is a blow. And I just think, like, the game's got to get – college football's got to get where this is multiple-year contracts, bro. Like, it's just this isn't sustainable, you know. Like, for you to have to fight for kids like this that, you know, you invest in, you know, developing in year one, then you got to, you know, negotiate with teams that are definitely tampering. And, like, the kid hasn't entered the portal. He's definitely getting offers. Like, I don't think it's sustainable for, like, fans. And we can get into that conversation later, but I don't think it's sustainable – model for fandom and a whole lot of other things, bro. Like, that's devastating for us to be able to lose a player like that. You know, it's a money game, right? Whoever got the biggest money could go just poach players. And I never fathomed, like, Florida be a program that be in this type of situation. I don't care what the record is, right? Florida should, in the ideal world, right, be able to keep their best players on offense and defense, you know, especially, like, the best player. And if, you know, you're in a situation like programs like Florida. It ain't just Florida. It's other programs right now. Auburn losing Cam Coleman, you know, like a guy that's from Alabama. Who knows where he's going to go play at, but they don't have an opportunity with keeping that kid right now in the fold. It is what it is, but I think the game is getting to like the money game, and there's got to be some guardrails put up where it ain't just, you know, the rich eat the poor, for lack of better terms.
Yeah, I think that you're going to get – well, let's – I mean, that was our last player, so we can talk about it now. Obviously, if you want to weave in any Jayden Woods thoughts in there as well, you can. I think that there's going to be a lot of donor fatigue as well. I think a lot. I mean, Troy Aikman, you know, said it a couple weeks ago, you know, and he didn't say who the player is. I assume it's Dante Moore. You know, he gave what I would imagine is a 6 or 7 figure donation to get Dante Moore to UCLA. And then he went and transferred, and he's like, I didn't even get a thank you. So he's like, I'm done donating to NIL.
That's real. In the future.
And I think that there's going to get to a point where, and it may be slow, and it may happen gradually, and it may happen with other schools more than it happens with others. But the model that we have right now is, like you said, Corey, wholly unsustainable for the sport and for fandom and for interest in players. And that was the point that you had 2 points that I was going to bring up, and that was one of them. And, you know, people become fans of schools because they – maybe they grew up as kids of parents that went to that school. Maybe they went to that school. I grew up in a household where my dad went to Ohio State. My mom went to Florida. We lived in Florida. It was natural for me to become a Florida Gator fan. I went to school there, but a lot of my memories of being a Gator fan aren't just because I liked the colors or because I thought the Gator logo was really cool. It's because I found a connection in watching Danny Werfel and Ike Hilliard and Rita Anthony and Fred Taylor and, you know, Rex Grossman, and, you know, those guys are what my connection were to the football program. And we talked about a little bit last week is I don't have any connection to really any players anymore because I don't know if they're going to be on the roster next week, next month, next year. And now it's just it's become a point where I'm just like, I'm just going to rock with who's ever on the roster when the team kicks off in August, and I'll lose my connection to them in December and hope that they come back, and we'll just do that forever.
Yeah. It's tough, man. Like I tweeted out, I was like, my fandom started because of like guys in the community, you know, that I watched play ball, Fred Rutt, you know, Lewis Oliver, you know, I could go on and on, Riedel. Those guys are a reason, you know, I became a Gator fan, because it was just in our whole community. Like Belgrade is a Gator town. For a lot of that reason, most of the players went there, and we had to cheer these guys along because familiarity, right? We know those guys. And then, you know, even with the Swamp Kings, when you watch those documentaries, and I show my son, we watch it, like, those guys, like, it wasn't just the winning of a national championship and just the logo. It was the personalities on that team, right? From Tim Tebow, you know, his faith, and, you know, those storylines behind that, right? Brandon Spikes, and, you know, him gouging eyes out. I don't care if it was like wild football shenanigans, but that's what you fell in love with. Like the Ahmad Black story, him wearing 35, him being a 3-star, coming out with 2 other 5-stars from Lakeland, but him being, you know, a guy that made big plays. Those storylines, we're losing that, right? And, you know, you having like players like Etienne who come here as a freshman and play right away. And there's so much promise. Like, man, we got this guy. Like in the old days, like, yo, we got this guy for 3 years. Yeah. That's a positive. Even when you stunk, you know, you was gonna have a dog and a killer like Vernon Hargraves. When we even was bad with Muschamp, we knew Vern was gonna lock down one side of the field and go crazy. And I was showing up to watch Vern every Saturday because I know he's pulling up to put in work. You losing that, man. If Vern was playing now, he'd be gone. Right. A lot of those players, Dante Fowler, he'd be gone. Like, even when we had bad season, we had absolute killers like that that would go out and ball. Fans fill up the stands, and you still celebrate those guys, you know, later on. We're losing that.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to churn a new roster of at least 40, 50 every year, 60 even.
Between graduation,
transfer portal. You know, Corey made a point that we're going to talk about later, like, some of these kids don't have the choice whether they can enter the transfer portal or not, right? Yeah. And I don't know what the guardrails are. I don't know how you fix this, but nobody's willing to sit down and make adult decisions on how you do fix this, right? It is very different than the NFL. It's this is the only sport that is currently out there where players are signed 6-month contracts, and you've got to hope that that player that you're giving a bunch of money for that next 6 months is the guy that is going to be there for the next year and the year after that, right? Because you're not spending a bunch of money on a recruit as a freshman in hopes that they're going to be there and just develop their freshman year and then hope they stick around for their sophomore year, their junior year, their senior year. It's just a wholly unsustainable model for not just Florida, but for the sport in general. The
entire sport, for sure.
Yeah. I feel kind of both ways about the entire thing, man. Just looking at it now, I feel like, one, I completely agree with you guys, and that, like, it's definitely ruined a lot of it. But that came with, you know, being able to pay players now. So I think just me being a former player and looking at it from that aspect is like, yeah, we're dealing with a lot of negative stuff. One, I think it's a lot of things that can help fix it. Will it happen? I'm not sure. But I do know one thing can fix most of it, and I think we'll all be happy with that. I think us just winning ball games will change our perspective on NIL as well. I think that we won't even have to worry about half the stuff we're worried about if we have winning records and winning teams.
No, that's
we
for have sure.
The money to keep players, and we have the money to do this thing right. So when we're in that fashion, we won't even care about the couple dudes who hit the portal because we know we got more coming in. So I think it's just a tough time for us right now with the way we're down right now as far as like successful and dealing with NIL as well. I think that's a tough aspect, but I do like that it's giving the players the ability to kind of get paid for what they're doing. Do I like the fashion that they're doing it in? Not really. I think it's a lot of things that they can help on and improve and just make it better for everybody. But I don't have a full answer on it. That's just kind of my spiel on it.
No, I'm glad what it does, like, for the players. Like empowering them making money, and they just playing by the rules that are in front of them, right? Same thing with the schools. Everybody just playing by the rules that are in front of them, and I'm just saying they got to put better rules around this thing and better like guardrails. Or if not, it's really a money's game, and who got the most money go win, right? You got Texas or tycoons that are just throwing money in Texas Tech, and they're making the playoffs just because they got a lot of money to throw at it. And as just a realistic fan, we don't have that type of booster that's just going to throw endless money at football like that. So it's just like to make this thing like if Jerry Jones could just outspend everybody in the NFL, he'd get every Super Bowl. But he can't do that. They got salary caps. They got things around it to make it, you know, competitive for everybody. So it's just not a who got the most money game.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it also makes sense for the NFL to do it because it mitigates how much they make, but it also greatly lowers the floor. It makes sense for them to revenue share and then to do all that. But it's no one, like, when they made NIL, it was like, hey, we'll be able to put some names on some jerseys and we'll sell those and that'll be fine. And it was just like, that was my guy. You gave SMU the death penalty. Mm-hmm. 40 years ago, like you think people are like, I guess we can't do that. Like stuff was happening 40 years ago before I was born.
Yeah.
It was never going to be what the idealistic version of what you thought NIL was going to be for the major schools and the major sports. It's not even that way for baseball. For softball, Texas Tech, that Cody guy who runs their collective sold his company for $1 billion.
Texas Tech gave everybody a lot of money. They don't care if you play volleyball, cricket.
Yeah.
They give the pitcher $1 million.
Everybody, bro. They don't care.
Pay a softball pitcher $1 million, and they lost to Texas.
Speedwalkers. $1 million NIL deal. Like, what?
He came out in an interview and said, hey, we saw like a window before the Haas settlement came where you could pay somebody. You didn't have to put it through any kind of system. It didn't have to be, no one was going to look at it. And he goes, and we thought we had a chance. We had a small window that was going to be closing to make a run and a playoff and a championship. And that's what they did this year. It's changed somewhat now with NIL Go and with the Haas settlement. But I think the thing that the schools don't want, and the schools, make no mistake about it, the schools tell the NCAA what to do. The schools give.
It's not the NCAA's fault.
The NCAA, the power to govern.
They work for the school. The schools hire the NCAA.
Yeah. So we can shake our fist at the NCAA and not like it, but the schools could just do away with it if they wanted to. It's the schools don't want to make the players employees, and everyone talks about collective bargaining. You would need to make the players employees to then collective bargain. Jordan, when you joined the NFL, when you were drafted and you were the NFLPA, you became an employee of the NFL, and you were able to collectively or allow the agent, the NFLPA, to collectively bargain for you. And everything that was in your contract was collectively bargained. You don't have that if you're not an employee. And the schools Correct. Don't want to admit that they're employees, so we're not going to get that.
Right.
Until the schools allow that, you're not going to get collective bargaining, which would then give you things like a salary cap. But also, name, image, and likeness, everyone just throws around NIL. It stands for your name, your image, and your likeness. And in our society, if I think Corey's name, image, and likeness is worth $1 million to my company, and I want to pay him $1 million, you agree?
I agree. Stop the count.
Get him $1 million, Nick.
Then who is to tell Corey, oh, no, that's not your market value? What do you mean? Somebody in the market just told me I'm worth $1 million. And if you think I'm only worth 200, well, I'll see you in court for the missing eight. And you can explain to a judge why this company or this person who owns a business thought I was worth $1 million, but your algorithm said I wasn't. And we're going to figure out the money in the middle. Right. So even if you get a salary cap, you can have then sponsorship deals with third-party companies. And that's added on top of that. So sure. The toothpaste is mostly all of it, empty toothpaste roll out of the tube. Much easier to get it out of the tube than to put it back in.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know how you fix it, and I don't know what's next. The schools are going to fight and do whatever they can. You know, it'll be interesting to see if the courts get involved in it. But right now, the courts are taking the player side on almost everything related to eligibility, related to really anything. The NCAA is batting below the Mendoza line in the courts against the players. So I don't know how it gets fixed.
You got a professional basketball player going back to play college basketball.
You got a professional basketball player. You have another guy that's apparently being recruited.
This is a circus, man.
Yeah, the whole thing is a bit of a circus, and maybe that's just the new reality that we live in. And maybe there's not a solution, and this is just what it is going to be. But it's just disappointing. And it's not a old man yells at cloud thing. It's just, it's a completely different game. It's you've lost some of the luster of being able to watch the guy from your hometown go to your favorite school that was under recruited. And maybe you just can still cheer that person on. He just might go from Florida to Tulane to West Virginia to Ohio State and, you know, make the NFL. And that's,
I want to see, like, from this totality, like the way the game's going, like how many like prospects, right? If I'm a high 4-star, low 5-star, or even a 5-star, right? Like it would probably make more sense for me to go somewhere where I could play my freshman year and up my value, where I know I could go and start my freshman year and get reps, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you go to a program like, you know, an SEC program, Georgia, Alabama, Florida, you know, any of those programs, or even say like a Miami, and you playing your freshman year as a 5-star, you don't play a lot. That next year, they're going to ask you to take a pay cut because of your production on paper, right? Mm-hmm. So they got you on campus, but when it's time to renegotiate, they're going to go by what you put on the field because they got to pay guys by what they're doing. It almost makes more sense because you see the smaller level G5 guys are going to get bigger deals in the transfer portal right now. Guys mm-hmm. that may play 1 year in mm-hmm. G5 are going to get paid more than a 5-star from last year. Like right now, that's happening. So I want to see, like, is this eventually going to change where some of these kids are just going to go get that immediate, where they get maybe the same pay, but put like snaps, I could play right away. I could jump right to the top of this and I could hit the portal again next year or even increase my money to, you know, a higher level, you know, by getting just reps like right away as a freshman, because people are not with the waiting and developing like they used to.
No. You know, I wonder what the trickle down effects are. If
you're muted, you know. You're muted, Jordan.
Oh. Oh, you're still muted. Your mic is muted.
Mm.
Mike's in the portal. The Mike's in the portal. The mic. No, Hayes, get the graphic ready.
Jordan, is there
Hayes, get the graphic ready. Jordan's mic's
Hayes
in the
false
portal.
Hayes falls about to drop. About to drop a graphic.
No. I got it. I got it. I got it.
There we go. There we go.
Hey, shout out to Florida Victorious. We got Mike re-signed to a new deal.
But no, man, I was saying, I think, is that a good or a bad thing? I think it's kind of good when you really sit down and think about it. You got guys that will waste years and you really get to see them put good stuff on tape and watch some good football. So now I think it's going to turn the wheel, and not having guys sit behind other guys, they're going to take the opportunities elsewhere, and you get to see them shine for a full 3 years versus, let's just say, what was that? Even Georgia a couple years ago when I was playing, they had Todd Gurley, Nick Chubb, Sony Michel. Like, you got to watch those guys and they got not as much carries if they would have all been on separate teams and able to be a real featured back. You feel me? Like, that's the type of situation now to where all three of those guys will be at different teams shining and balling. So you're not missing out on guys really putting on good stuff. Obviously, as a program, you're sad because you can't retain three studs like that and have like the big packed room, a Hall of Fame room like you wanted to anymore. But hey, I mean, that's what you got to start getting better at recruiting and kind of find the underdogs and find the stuff. It's not so much easy as, hey, I'm Florida and I can get all the five stars because I'm Florida. And that's what it is now. It's now a money game. And as well as how can you spread out your offense and make everybody happy to want to stay kind of deal. So it's definitely a lot more moving pieces for the coaches as well.
I remember that Georgia defense when Dan Mullen finally like thumbed his nose at all of us and was like, yeah, sure. You want Anthony Richardson to start? He's starting against Georgia. And we were all like, whoa. Not against that defense. That defense had like three Pro Bowl defensive lines that they just rotated throughout the entire game. And you're like, any other week, Dan? Not this one.
Not this one. That's
I don't know that. I think Bud Elliott had a good tweet. It was when like Tulane and JMU both got in to the college football playoff. And he was like, because of the portal and because of NIL, the top 30 teams in the country have been closer in talent than they ever have been in the history of college football. And he goes, but because we have some weird rules, we have to let teams who aren't in the top 30 into this tournament. And so I wonder, it's like, does a school like Tulane then, I mean, John Summerall lost 14 players, like legit players, starters, guys who are getting depth after this season that just finished for them. I saw another coach who I can't remember. Maybe it was UTSA. Their coach was talking about like, we might have 20 guys not playing our bowl game because their agents have told them,
yeah,
don't play in the bowl game because we're going to go in the portal and you can't get hurt. And other schools are saying, if you don't play in the bowl game, here's the number. And he's like, we're just going to have, we can't afford to have our guys. And then you've got all these other schools who are just treated like the minor leagues.
and you become a feeder program. I mean, you become, if we're not careful, we might turn it to what, man? Like, yeah, that's what it becomes. Like, some of these
would be the most expensive AAA in the history of sports.
That's a fact, because everybody
won't lose.
Expensive.
You won't lose like all of them, but I think like losing your premier guys to like the Ohio States and like contenders of the world, right? That just, and I think also think too, like the shift of SEC is going to move. I think Big Ten is going to be the big dog conference just from old money and the way they're just throwing money around. I think it's going to be a Texas thing and Big Ten if they don't change the rules, just from old alumni money that people are just down to throw money around at sports. I think SEC is going to lose some momentum and being able to get kids because the best football players play in the South. That's the advantage that SEC has and a lot of Southern teams have, is the best football players play down here. But if it turns to a money game, who got the most money, I think Big Ten could play a different type of ball game than the SEC with what the future looks like in football.
I mean, if Stanford can get some of their folks on board football, I mean, good luck.
West Coast, though. West Coast may do something, too. They got some money over there on the West Coast.
Yeah, and Oregon's Big Ten team now, right?
I like, don't think they care like that.
Andrew Luck's
that too. That's what I was starting to care. I feel like.
No. Not like there's some outliers. I just don't think the West Coast cares about football like that.
True.
I mean, they cared a lot when USC was winning national championships. They cared a lot when Stanford was good with Andrew Luck. I mean, I'm not saying that it doesn't exist. I mean, Utah's been a perennial pretty good team. Arizona State's had their come up a little bit. Oregon's been really good. Washington's, you know, played for national championship a couple of years ago. I'm not trying to tell you you're wrong. I think that similar to the Northeast, there's a lot less interest in college football. But it only takes a couple of people that have sold their tech company for billions of dollars to be on board with you, right? We don't have a lot of billionaires, right? We have a couple, and we have one that they're really trying to get involved in football, and he's not interested, right? And so then you start to work your way down, and it's like if you can get one, it just completely changes the game. And then I wonder, just going back to the feeder school comment, like if you're not a Tulane or James Madison or you know, Western Kentucky, a school that's kind of been good for a while and have had some success. Like, if you're at a bottom feeder school, like, do you even care about football anymore? If all you're going to do is get your players poached?
I mean, you just got to be excellent at recruiting out of high school. And I think it'll make it easier for those guys to recruit out of high school, right? I mean, you can pitch that. Say you going somewhere else to a bigger school, you probably arrive the bench and be right back here. So just come here and then go get paid more. Instead of just going,
that's what you got to sell.
That's what you got to sell. But is that sustainable to people? Then you're then asking, like, to say, hey, let's
to fund
spend
it,
spend a bunch of money recruiting, and then hey, let's go cheer them on. I mean, Diego Pavia from New Mexico,
who are like losing millions of dollars in the couch cushions, and they're not looking for an ROI.
At Tulane boosters, you don't think they're looking for ROI?
I mean, I think there's a difference between
a billionaire who's like, yeah, I'll give you $10 million a year, no problem.
But there's like a difference between now, because NIL is still new. What, it's 4 years old, 5 years old?
Yeah.
It's going to be around in this iteration for a long time. So it's maybe not in year five, might be year 10, might be in year 20. It might be when that booster you have dies and his kids are like, why am I giving $6 million a year to the school that my dad went to when I can spend that on a new plane or a new house, or I want to collect art or do whatever. So it's just a constant churn where I think you're going to get fatigue. I could be wrong. I've been wrong on the show. You know,
no, I think it eventually has to go to where there's like some ROI, right? And I think some of these programs are going to turn to where the boosters are vested and they're getting a return on the money they put in to fund the rosters, etc. You got a modern day like Jerry Jones type booster that's funding at the top of this thing. He gets a kickback on, you know, how well the team does profit wise. That's going to eventually be a thing, in my opinion. I think that's the only thing that makes sense. Like continuing rich guys aren't rich because they just throw money out the window at fun things. You know, they're rich because they're smart with their money and they're going to want to return on these type of investments. Like paying a kid, like Troy Aikman said, you pay a quarterback to come here 1 year. He got hella money. Troy Aikman's filthy rich, but he nip it in the bud quick. Like, no, I didn't get no type of, I didn't even get a thank you letter. So yeah, I think it's going to have to make sense from a booster standpoint, like in the future, if they're tied in like an owner or like a vested, like investor of the program in some facet.
But you will always get a thank you letter from us. Thank you, Troy. Make sure you get your letter. Send your money to Florida. We will get you a letter video.
You probably even know who Troy is. Troy who? Aikman. Like, what did he play? Golf?
The TV guy?
The TV guy. The commentator.
What does he know about playing football? I don't know. It's going to be a really interesting real-time, real-life case study.
Well, let's get into his second point. Because, like, I think the
– Hold on. Yeah. We've got bills to pay. We're going to do two ad reads again. One time for our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks. I got one of these for myself for Christmas.
Oh, I didn't do the Christmas thing, bro. Is it too late?
No, you can still do it, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nick, Gator boys stay hot, man.
Gator boys stay hot. Big basketball win over Dartmouth today. So go visit our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks. It's going to keep your hot drinks hot and your cold drinks cold. Great cup, great price. Very fast shipping is going to get to you. in just a couple of days, based out of Knoxville, Tennessee. Tyler and his business are really truly creating great products out there, and he wants to help you get your hands on one. So use promo code STADIUM15 for 15% off of that order. A lot of UF stuff, and then a lot of other schools, and even some NIL stuff on there. If you want to get a DJ Lagway cup, I think he's trying to offload a bunch of those. And then one time for our friends over at Home Field Apparel, go visit Home Field Apparel. Use promo code Stadium and Gale. You know them. They've been around for a long time. Soft cotton, vintage retro logos, great designs, really, really cool products. Go visit homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout. All right, Nick, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
I don't know what I was saying.
You were going to say it was probably about pushing guys out. Corey's other point.
Oh, yeah. So what I thought, you know, my first thought was, all right, the having two transfer portals, you know, coaches, not just Billy Napier, many coaches would say the spring transfer portal is less talented and more expensive. And I thought, okay, well, let's if you move it to one portal, maybe that will help. But I think guys being able to transfer as much as they want, there is no consequence for every year just saying, hey, bag bigger? Oh, no, it's not. All right, I'll come back. Right. Hey, is the bag bigger? But there are guys on the roster, especially when – not even when coaches could just have a great recruiting class. And, ooh, shoot, numbers are different now. Sorry, we don't have a spot for you anymore. Should that kid have to sit out a year? Like, that's not fair. If I wanted to stay here and now all of a sudden my coach, my position coach tells me, hey, we don't have a spot for you anymore. Or, hey, we do have a spot for you, but it's 15th offensive lineman, 9th right guard. Like, that's going to be your spot. And we don't want to – we don't want to give you a scholarship for that.
Yeah.
Guys get pushed out
all the time.
Every single school across the country. It happens.
I don't think the fans realize that. Like some of the comments is just be like single toward like the kid quit or he did. No, a lot of these kids didn't quit. A lot of these kids was told to hit the exit, right? So just be mindful of that when you get into some of these opinions and takes. Like these kids, this isn't a new NIL thing. This has been going on for a while. Like even before NIL, scholarships are renewable annually. Like you're not guaranteed to a 4-year scholarship when you sign that letter of intent. That's like not a real thing. Never has been. Like every year they could do exactly what Nick was saying and tell you on the depth chart, we don't see this happening, my dude. You can stay around, but you know, we don't really have a scholarship for you, or this is what we don't have for you. Then you got to find somewhere else to go. So, yeah, the NCAA's got to figure out a way to, I don't know if it's 2-year contract or what that looked like, but it's got to make sense for both sides. And I don't think you get to like any reasonable, no conclusion or solution moving forward unless, you know, the players unionize and from the NCAA standpoint, whoever reps like the colleges, them negotiate and come to terms of what makes sense from an institution standpoint and the players to protect both sides. And I think that also protect the fandom, like us as fans being invested and still caring about this thing for the long term. Because right now, bro, fresh 40 faces, bro, I ain't finna care about you because you might be going next year. Like, I'm gonna be honest with you, bro.
Yeah,
okay, I mean, what you selling? A shirt, a jersey? I don't want to buy none of that junk, bro. Like, you gonna be gone?
It's being in part. Sorry to cut you off, John, but like being inside of like NIL and with a collective now, it's like trying to push and help build their brands. But it's also, especially when you're young and if you're a freshman, like you're new to this, and your brand is a lot of times tied to the school that you're with. And then you go and you hit the portal. It's like, all right, well, any work that you've done to build your brand, you know, when kids are getting recruited and they're like, hey, gator emoji, drop that follow. And then all of a sudden their followers like spike triple, up for signing day, triple, quadruple before signing day. Then you put a different hat on. So you got a bunch of followers who don't care about you. They were only following you because you were playing them along, stringing them along because they thought you were going to go to their school. And you're not building a personal brand. You're building a brand around a team. Uh-huh. And then you got a new team. And then you got a new team.
Well, that's where the NIL thing is just, it's been bastardized, right? I mean, and that's just the way that it started. And it started with the reason they're called collectives is because of the Gator Collective. And that's not an Eddie thing. That's just how quickly it changed from players being able to go monetize themselves to having a collective group then pay players. And then everybody just followed suit because you had the time to ramp up, you know, in the industry. So I don't think most of these kids are building brands. I think that there's some that are, but I don't even think that most of this stuff is quantifiably name, image, or likeness.
It's pay for play, man. This isn't no name, image, and likeness. Like, name, image, and likeness means, you know, they're paying you advertising, marketing to push a brand, or you being able to monetize your name, create your own products, you know, things like that. That's not what's happening here. This is pay for play. You know,
isn't play that though? I mean, when they scoring touchdowns and making plays, you clicking on that channel to watch that person do that, right? I don't know. Maybe I'm tripping.
No, I'm 100% on board. I'm 100% on board for honestly.
No, I think that's a different. I think that's a different check right there. I think that's not name, image, and likeness in the NFL. Like marketing is marketing. I think they. It was meant for like a marketing and you selling your own products and you being able to sell your jersey with an autograph on it like that. That's what it was really designed for. But I do think they should get paid for being on the TV, you know, and all that. That's where the CBA, you know, some type of collective bargaining agreement.
I was thinking that's kind of what their pay was based off and like the amount of people who will follow you and want to watch you play. So I'm paying you on that number. Obviously, that comes with you playing well as well because people want to come watch Jeremiah Smith. Take it out the top, score a touchdown.
Worth every penny. Worth every penny.
I'm going to pay Jeremiah Smith the amount of money. I don't care if he gets all these commercial deals or not. He's going to get that. But I know you're going to have everybody tune into Ohio State play because you're Jeremiah Smith. So you're being paid. Obviously, a lot of players are overpaid. Don't get me wrong. It's a lot of shenanigans in all of this. But I just feel like kind of just putting some realistic perspective in all of this, right? Because before, you just used to want players to sit and not play, and nobody wants to do that anymore. Right. Only players are leaving are players that are not playing for real. Like, if you really sit back and look at it, they're not playing, but we knew that they were good enough to play. The coaches decided to sit them, or somebody was better than them, but the only reason why they're leaving these programs is because they're not winning and they're not playing.
I think they got to get some rules back in place because I think, you know, just like the NFL, I think quarterback development is down in the NFL. I think, like, development is going to be down in its totality if it stays this way, right? Because now you're relying on a formally system that I think the quality of coaches down there are going to dwindle. I think the quality of coaches in college football is already dwindling, right? So I just think from that standpoint, like, survival of the game, like, they got to set rules. There's a point where kids go straight to pro in basketball, and they had to change the rules just for college basketball to survive because they were losing all the early super. And a lot of those, you know, players that went high school to pro didn't pan out, and they could have used college. So I just think it's a similar situation. You know, eventually the industry is going to correct itself, but it has to, and that's the only sustainable way. If it stays like this, I think you start to suffer, you know, development. You start to suffer just from, you know, longevity of the sport. Like, there's some kids that just want the education. There's some kids that know they're not going pro. There's some kids where they just stayed on rosters, stayed there 4 years and were good depth pieces, and they got developed as human beings and got good degrees. Now you're going to lose those type of, like, just rotational players that's getting a UF degree just because he just wanted to go to UF and play a little football, but pro wasn't his thing. But he'll get pushed out in today's game. I think eventually it's going to be like 2-year deals or something like that to make players sit a little bit longer and be developed. And if they enter the, you know, portal, if it's contracts, then you sit out a year. It makes sense in that capacity if it's like 2-year contracts. But this one and done every 6-7 months renegotiating, it ain't sustainable, man.
Yeah. Whether it's right or wrong, it's just not sustainable. Like, we don't have the solution, and I don't know how interested the schools are in creating a solution because they know that that solution is going to require them to become employees, and that means a lot of additional costs to schools. That means health insurance. That means dealing with a lot of other issues that they probably don't want to deal with, right? that's why I don't think it's going to get solved anytime soon.
Yeah.
And you also have massive disparity between your Ohio State's, Oregon's, Texas A&M's, et cetera, and your Utah State University, your New Mexico State University,
right?
And how does that how does that work? And how do you not level the playing field, but how do you make sure that all schools can offer that? Because they pay a lot different to broadcast AAC games than they do the Big Ten or the SEC.
Texas A&M lost Evan Stewart and Walter Nolan 2 years ago to to Ole Miss and Oregon.
That was a coaching change, right?
Number one defensive tackle, number one receiver in the class.
I mean, everybody is susceptible to lose players in the
coaching change. Was Texas A&M good 2 years ago, though? That's the real question.
That's when they fired Jimbo, though.
They fired Jimbo.
That's my point in what I'm saying.
I don't think that was a coaching change made. I think that was better bag opportunities for both.
For sure. I guess I was more of
I don't think nobody's out paying Texas A&M.
I think if we win,
Ole Miss tried to make a run that year.
Yeah, for sure. But I feel like if we win, then we don't got no issues. That's the bottom line. And I feel like right now we're in a space.
It costs to win, bro.
I mean, yes and no. I feel like yes and no. I feel like we just had the cost to win and everything in place. We just got messed over last year. We had nobody can't tell me that roster that we had wasn't talented. That's why we mad that we losing.
It was expensive. So that's why they paid late.
We wasn't willing to execute. So the money ain't gone. The money's still there. We still got the money and we still got opportunity. I guess I'm more of saying that, like, as the University of Florida, I don't think we should be worried about the money aspect of being able to win. It's whether the coaches and everything can come together as one and we can win. Mm-hmm. I think we're oftentimes doing one better than the other, and just nothing's ever in sync since obviously the last era of winning. You know what I'm saying?
Since NIL's been in place.
For sure, 100%. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. I think we put ourselves on a bad foot with NIL starting. We went in on a Sun Belt coach during the NIL era. No disrespect to Billy. I think he's a good guy, a good coach. I just think we got dealt a really bad hand. We could have went plenty of other ways and been halfway more. It could have been decent. He recruited well. But that does nothing in this day and age. Like we had the recruits, we had all the players here, but now they're gone because of the entire roster just falling apart with just the uncertainty of the team and us being able to win ball games. I just feel like the fashion we went out last year was terrible. It didn't look like something that that could have, like, nobody predicted that, right? That's what I was more feeling like in that. With our roster, I feel like even when things were going bad, we still all had hopes that games could be turned around. We had 30 yards of offense, and we're down by 6 points. Like, our team was very close to winning in a lot of fashions. That's what kept hope alive for us all season long. But once we lose your starting quarterback and you're not sure of other things, it's kind of like, why am I here? Florida is a good brand, but we not winning no ball games. As an offensive guy, I don't know what's going to happen. And as a defensive guy, I'm scared of the coaches that just came in because he's a defensive guy and he may not even like me. I was fighting for time last year and I don't even know what it's about to be. So I see why dudes are leaving, and I think all this can be solved with us just having a somewhat winning season. It doesn't even have to be a crazy run through the playoffs and potentially national championship. It can literally just be close to the playoffs bowl game, like right outside the playoffs, and Florida will be just fine. We're recruiting guys and being able to rebuild the roster for us to make it back to the top. I think we just got to knock off all this rust.
Well, and I think Florida has the money, right? I mean, a lot of people bemoan our collective and the amount of money that we spend. We spend a lot of money. We've spent more money than other teams that are currently in the playoffs right now, right? So Florida has money. It's a coaching thing. There's a lot that goes into it. But
I think like programs like Indiana, they're rare. They're the gem in this. So it's only one Indiana. There's not a whole lot of like case studies of that being like playing the money ball being replicated. And to me, like, just watching since NIL started, it's been like big dogs, people that are very aggressive when the portal open, very aggressive with trying to get the best talent, you know, no matter the cost. And I just haven't seen. I think we've been more North Carolina State, Virginia Tech in that area with like. No, I'm just saying, like, we haven't been aggressive with trying to get the best quarterback in the portal, the best running back in the portal, the best receiver in the portal. We haven't been in those conversations one of these years, not a single year have we tried to get the best absolute player was an offensive tackle, defensive tackle. We just haven't. So I don't see us in that world. And I think the teams that are going to do that, the team that we see Ole Miss, the Texas A&Ms, the Texas Techs, like those Oregons, the team that are trying to get the absolute best players in the portal to go make a run, those are the teams that are doing it. And I just don't see us doing it.
I also don't want to end up like Texas, though. They spending big money and ain't getting no results.
They're going to keep spending. They like eventually it hits.
Yeah, I feel it.
Now they got Muschamp over there, right?
Like, I'd rather conserve the money, but you know they got it. They have it, so they can bust it out.
That's why we need rules, bro. Texas hoping they don't, every Texas program they don't want no rules. They like we got it, bro. We got.
We see the root for cheap gas.
Yeah, we don't the care about like rules. Rules is for the losers. keep the speed limits off the road. I got a Ferrari.
So every case and Corey's man, you're managing guys now, so you understand every case, every player's situation, every negotiation is different. The Jaden Woods one today is not about money at all, and I don't think Florida's out of it either. We've sung his praises, like such a well-rounded, well-rounded young man, great head on his shoulders. I talked about. Every single day, Carlos, he was the only player, whether it was a freshman, junior, sophomore, senior, the only player who realized, oh, Carlos Dunlap's here. That's a first rounder. That's a pro bowler. That's an all pro. Let me see if he wants to hang out after practice and work on some technique. Every single day, Carlos Dunlap was there. Jaden Woods is doing that. Worked his ass off. He just wants to win. And you fired a coaching staff. Not saying they shouldn't have been fired. You fire a coaching staff. His coach, position coach, isn't retained. He wants to know who is going to develop me. Can I be developed? And can I be in the playoff next year or the year after that? There's a rumor that Texas A&M, I don't think he's going to go to Texas A&M. Why? Because the guys he knows who were recruiting him, Jay Bateman and Sean Spencer, aren't there anymore. So Texas A&M can throw money at him. He's not going to make a money decision.
I thought the rumor was Texas.
The rumor might be Texas, but there was also a rumor with a 2-comma payment offered from Texas A&M.
Nice.
And I'm saying that Jaden Woods is not making a money-based decision. He's thinking, who's going to develop me to help me be a first-round draft pick and get to the NFL? And at Florida, he hasn't met or worked, gone over film, been able to talk with in person the people who will be coaching him. So I think Florida will have that opportunity. I don't know that will come back, but I don't know that he will. I don't know that he will come back to Florida, or he will eventually leave. But like, it's not a money decision. I feel like the narrative is that like, oh, Florida's too broke to bring those guys back. Like, he was absolutely fine.
I feel like it's probably close between all the schools anyway. Like, we're not.
It might be different for another kid. Like, another kid might just say, like, sure, this school's offering me X. I enjoyed my time here. Can you match X or go above X? And you're like, no, we can't. Like, all right, cool. Peace. I'm going to the other school. Thanks for the time. Right. Like, someone might make a decision just based on money. I'm saying Jaden Woods is not making his decision based on money. Also, I can't talk about like our contracts, but we're not hurting for money at all. And the football team will be well funded in 2026.
Well, just I want to see it well funded when the port open. Like, it sounds good on the podcast, but are we going to get, you know, the best players in the country, or are we gonna be, oh, we got a big bag, but you know, this is the best money could buy right here, and we get gaslit. That's my new
thing. You've also got to figure. So it's not, you're not going to have $100 million roster. So everyone's like, oh, go get this guy, get this guy, get this guy, get this guy. It's all right. Well, now you have a $40 million offensive line. Like, that's not realistic.
Sick. Hell yeah.
That's how we win, baby.
You know, like at some point you have to budget. What does a room make? And do we want to spend more than we wanted to, than we allotted on this room? And do we have to take that from somewhere else, or do we have to go raise more money? Mm. Like, it's you can't turn, you know, you're not playing Madden with salary caps off. You have to find a way to make it work.
Dude, that was the best way to play, though.
It was the best way to play.
I was so stacked.
I think y'all capping me with the bread, though. I'm gonna be honest with y'all, bro. I need the portal to open. I don't feel like I can maximize my trash talking to him. I'm at the point where I'm about to retire as a fan, bro. Like, I can't talk greasy when the portal open. Like, the names that are popping up right now, right? Just keep it a bean. It's G5 guys. You know, I'm not saying these G5 guys go be the best G5ers ever. But when the big names are entering the portal, productive guys that are leaving notable programs, we're not coming up in those conversations. And if we got the money to compete with the best of the best in the country, then let's go get the best players available for whoever the quarterback's going to be, whoever the coach is going to be. John Summerall deserves a real opportunity at a competitive roster. And I don't believe us going to get pulled G5 guys up here to replace some of the best prospects that we've seen in the state of Florida. Like, the recruiting sites don't miss. Like, they evaluate these guys very high, and they've shown over time that the recruiting sites are accurate, right? And we grab some of the top players. We cut bait on them. Don't sell me on just G5 guys at a budget because we got to fill a room. No, go get my starters to be the best player. Like, replace Jaden Woods. If Jaden Woods leave, then go compete for one of the best edge rushers in the country, because that's what I think he is. I think he was our best defensive player. So go get me that caliber player to replace him with.
Yeah, 100%. And we don't know what this talent acquisition portal looks like under John Summerall. Right. There's going to be differences, and we're just talking here. We're just having a good time. The chat's going nuts right now. we don't know. I mean, there's people calling you out, Nick. They want dollar amounts. They want you to share every dollar.
I'm going to lose sleep over Anthony Pons not liking that I'm not breaking my contract with my employer to make sure that he knows exactly what everyone's making.
Yeah. But we appreciate people that pay us. So we forgot to shout out our friend Dubster37 that said, "What up, 2-5? And then he said, "Retain Dallas." So that was for you, Nick.
For sure.
But yeah, I mean, we've got the portal opens on the second.
Second.
Yeah. And then it's open for 15 days.
Yeah. Well, you have 15 days to enter.
Oh, you have 15 days to enter. And also, then it can happen at any time.
Also, you can tell the school on the 15th, and the school might not even post it till the 17th. So you get a weird fuzzy period. Just more to click on.
Yeah, hell yeah. That's what I've cool. Well, that was a good spirited discussion, boys. I'm excited to see
great conversation
where this continues to go and continue to evolve.
What NIL deal? Oh, Jordan, don't listen. What NIL deal would we give Jordan?
I would give to. I mean, if you're giving $40 million to the offensive line,
Jordan would have bucked on us, bro. Jordan would have got out of here.
We got to get Jordan out of here so we can have these negotiations. Get him out of here.
I'm giving Jordan $5,000, and then for every yard, another $10,000. I'm giving Jordan everything that I own.
That's a wow. Jordan, he has groceries delivered. So it's a lot. He was able to just to on a whim go to Europe too. So like
on a whim, yeah.
I was off
by a day. So yeah. I don't even know what the market is for running backs. 500 to 1 million?
Depends on if Jordan Jaden Ball in there, you know.
Depends on Jaden Ball for real. They say I'm Jaden
Anthony
Ball.
Pons is going to give you $400,000. That's what he deemed you worth. I think you're worth more than that, but Anthony thinks you're only 400.
I'll take the 400K, bro. Zell, okay. Cash
App. I'll let you know.
Jordan shows up next Monday with his Zell app, just a QR code on his shirt. Hey, I'm here.
Never got that payment, bro.
Yeah, dude.
But
you know how I don't think Anthony Pons is giving you $400,000.
I don't think so. Let's see. Nick gave all Frankie's Christmas gift money to NIL. We have money. Part of getting kids is being good, not just money. Wins equals players. Thank you, Will K. 2023.
That, see? Mm-hmm. I would have had the correct number of screws for the playhouse if Will hadn't given away all Frankie's Christmas money.
That's nuts.
Terrible.
Gator bags has got you at 650.
He got and the bags.
Hey, you see how it works? You see how it works? 700? Yeah,
700.
Yeah, free donuts.
You're about to sell out for 400K.
Yeah, and then Braxton's going to give you just 100K plus an under-the-table deal with Geico and Porsche. I don't know how you do a deal with Geico or Porsche under the radar or under the table. Like, they probably use his name and then the clearinghouse. Yeah, yeah, you know, so that one's got to be above board, the 100,000 below board. Good to see you, Braxton. And then Dubster 37, Boz Nuts. It doesn't take this long to decide. The transfer portal's not open. So, and Jaden Ball is not in the transfer portal. So,
this is a big decision. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's taking a little bit for him to reaffirm whatever, bro. It's a big decision, man. Like, I don't think he's nuts. I think it's a big decision, and he's weighing his options out, bro. It's just, this is new college football. Don't take it out on the kids. They just playing by the rules, man.
And he's got 1 year before he goes to the NFL, and this is an opportunity for him, whether he thinks it's at Florida, whether he thinks it's somewhere else.
Yeah, and it may not be about money, right? Don't, like, it just, it ain't, everything ain't in Florida's control. So
that, you know, NFL Florida, money hits a lot different than NIL money. Mm-hmm. Not for everybody.
Yeah, not for everybody.
For him.
Jordan, how many carries do you need
to give away?
We give you all 12 games at your current age in health.
Probably had to give me 999. I don't know, though. I don't even want to feel myself back out there.
Jordan's like, listen, I'm going to fall forward.
Well, yeah, you know I'm going to always do that. But after that, who knows how I'm going to feel going to bed at night.
Anthony Pons gave us some money, so we'll read it here. Corey, we need you in press conferences that are asking financial questions because the reporters we have in there won't ask, so the fans know. I don't think you're going to get those answers in a press conference if Corey's asking those questions or if anybody in the world is asking those questions.
Like, who let this guy in here? Last time we let you in here, Mr. Silk.
What do you mean balance sheet, Mr. Silk?
Get this guy out of here, man.
Oh, my gosh. All right, guys, let's get out of here. One time for our friends over at Alumni Hall, go visit alumnihall.com or go visit them in Gainesville, right off Archer Road. The largest selection of Florida Gator apparel in all of the city of Gainesville. Go check them out. Again, at alumnihall.com or Alumni Hall in Gainesville. Amir Jackson is coming back. That was announced since our last show. Who else was announced since the last show? Devin Moore is going to the Senior Bowl. Lagonza Hayward's coming back. Cam James is coming back. Missing anybody else?
All good.
Jeremiah McLeod and Vernell Brown III is coming back. A lot of people weren't excited. I'm like, hey, man, like, whether he's a legacy kid or not, like, you got your best or second best offensive playmaker from 2025 coming back. Like, that's worthy of acceptance. Like, you don't have to be angry on the internet all the time.
They're entitled to the legacy kids a little bit, bro. It's just like, you know, fan entitlement. But shout out to Amir coming back, man. I thought, you know, that was a blow. I tweeted it out and people were like, oh, he's just the tallest midget in the room. I'm like, all right, bro. Like, the kid can play. He's going to be a good football player. He's a good tight end. He's athletic. Can he get better? Of course. But I thought he was a kid that we should keep. Glad to see he's staying.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Well, that's going to end our show today. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Before you leave, if you could hit the like button, the subscribe button. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the share button on X or Twitter. And if you could, just open up your phone real quick. Hit your favorite podcast platform, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, whatever. If you could go ahead and rate us, that would be awesome. And we appreciate you guys for watching this show. And we will see you guys next year.
Bro, Dan, not a dad, full of dad jokes.
Yeah. A dad with no dad jokes is insane, man. I'm glad you grew your beard on this show, though.
You're welcome. I had to fit in. I'll see you guys next week.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.